Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today's show, we are talking about the ARC of Indiana Master Trust 2, which allows people with disabilities to fund a special needs trust with their own money and maintain eligibility for government benefits such as Medicaid, SSI, and SSDI. For more on Trust 2 and all it entails, Jill Ginn, Assistant Trust Director, is here with us to talk about it. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Good
always,
to see you.
Always good to see you. Thank you. So let's talk about Trust 2 and how it can help people with disabilities.
You are speaking my tune today. I love to talk about our trust.
I'm glad.
Yep. So it is exactly what you said at the beginning. Trust 2, which is legally known as a self-settled or first-party trust. And what that means is it's the person's own resources going into a special needs trust. It's a way for them to save their own resources beyond the $2,000 resource limit that they have for Medicaid or SSI, okay. And then be able to use that money wisely over time or at some point in the future when they need or want something. Okay. Previously, we've talked about Trust 1, and so let me just quickly say that the difference between the two types of special needs trusts are whose money goes into the trust. Okay. So if it's someone else's money, then they need to look for our podcast that we did previously about Trust 1, okay. Right? That's a gift or an inheritance from someone else. Okay. But Trust 2, it can only contain resources that are legally considered to belong to the individual. That might be things like earnings from a job, excess Social Security money. Maybe they've been able to gradually save up a little bit over time and they're approaching that $2,000 limit.
Okay.
It might be, for some people, it's a lawsuit settlement, an unexpected inheritance where the money is left to the individual directly rather than into a special needs trust.
Okay.
Those would be some examples of how someone might have excess resources and want to open their own trust. Another common thing would be a back payment from Social Security.
You know, all those things are good to know, so I'm glad you went over that too. So let's talk about what can I use the money for, and then how can you access it? How easy
sure.
is that?
Okay, absolutely. So people use money from their trust for all kinds of different things. The biggest part of the law that we have to take into account when we're determining whether somebody can use something from their trust mm-hmm. is something that's referred to as sole benefit.
Okay.
So as the trustee of the trust, we have to do our best to determine that the money is being spent only for the individual with a disability to enhance their life. That can provide a great level of protection. If you're concerned that somebody might take advantage of your loved one,
sure.
then knowing that the trustee is trying to determine that it's only used for them, it can be a peace of mind,
sure.
right?
Sure.
So the trust can be used for lots of different things as long as it's for the person with a disability. We have people that go on vacations. We have people that save a little bit of excess money at the end of every month. And then they save it over time. Maybe they need to do a car repair in the future or replace a car. We have people that save, and then when they need to replace appliances or furniture or buy clothing or
right.
it's really anything for the individual. Another thing that we do a lot of with the trust too is we can serve as kind of a basic bill paying service for people.
Okay.
So we have a lot of individuals that have money in their trust and maybe they want us to use trust money to pay their phone bill every month
sure.
or internet and cable. Those are two common ones because they don't have any kind of impact on Social Security.
Sure.
Okay. So we have a lot of individuals who change the billing address for a bill that they want paid regularly out of their trust.
Mm-hmm.
The bill comes to us directly and it gets paid out of their trust every month.
Okay.
So we set up that kind of plan with each person when they open their trust. How do they want to use the trust? Is it something we'll be doing regularly or will it be more an individual request as needed? I wanted to be sure and point out that each person has an assigned account manager.
Okay.
And so that's the individual here on our trust staff where the person with a disability or their key person, somebody else that assists them, they can contact their account manager when they need or want something.
Sure.
Our account managers are here every day from 8:30 to 5, and they're available by phone call, email. We have people fax us things, and we have people even, well, regular mail is one option, and then the other, we do have some people that stop by our office. And so everybody does have a designated account manager that's really their main contact. It's pretty easy to access the money in your trust. You contact your account manager. We make payments and make disbursements from trust twice a week, so we're on a pretty rapid schedule in terms of, so today when we're recording this, it's a Tuesday, right? Checks are going out in the mail today for people. Those are requests that would have come in on Friday or yesterday, and they're going out today. In the meantime, while those checks are being prepared, our account managers are already talking to clients about new requests.
Wow.
They're taking those requests today and tomorrow, and those checks will go out on Thursday. So we're on a really pretty rapid cycle, just constantly talking to people, taking requests, gathering documentation, and sending out payments twice a week. So it's typically only a couple days before something is paid or a check goes out for someone based on their request. Sometimes if someone's making a bigger purchase, a vehicle, a house, some of those kinds of items take additional time just because the process to get the documentation takes a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But generally the time process is very quick.
You know, when you open things like this, there are fees for taking out the money. Are there fees?
There are some fees involved. I'm always proud to tell people that I think the ARC Master Trust is extremely affordable. We are very upfront with our fees, and I'm going to tell you exactly what those are in just a moment.
Okay.
I always love to tell people we do not nickel and dime our clients. There aren't hidden fees. We're very transparent with everything that's going into and coming out of your trust, and you should be able to match all of those up at any given time, and we're always happy to discuss it.
Sure.
The fee in general, it is based on a formula and it is a sliding scale. So the more that you have in your account, the little bit higher the fee is. We're going to be making more disbursements. We're going to be talking to you about more requests. A basic way to describe the fee, though, is that the fee for our service, which is to be the trustee, to take care of the money, to keep up with rules and regulations for Medicaid and make those disbursements, is approximately 1% per year.
Okay.
So there are no additional fees. If you have an account that's invested, there's no additional investment fees. Again, there's no hidden fees. If you're a person that has lots of disbursements, we don't charge extra for that. We just charge that 1% consulting fee. So an example would be if you have a Trust 2 with us and you have $5,000 or less in the account, the charge to have that account and us take care of it this year was $58.
Okay.
So just a little bit over 1%. It, you know, for each incremental $1,000 higher, then that's going to go up just a bit because it is based on a percentage or a formula.
Sure.
Okay. The other fee is that we do have an enrollment fee.
Okay.
That's a one-time fee to get started with our trust. It covers any meetings that I have with individuals, and I travel to people's homes or meet with them in their community. Sometimes we need to have conversations with somebody's family or guardian, sometimes with their provider of services,
sure,
maybe an attorney. That enrollment fee is just a one-time fee that covers any of those scenarios.
Okay.
And there may be lots of those conversations we need to have. And I may meet with somebody more than one time prior to them deciding to set up a trust.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no additional fees, just one enrollment fee. We have a minimum enrollment fee of $100. A maximum of $1,500.
Okay.
And again, it's a sliding scale based on the amount that's going into the trust.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so I always hate to discuss this, but what happens if I pass away?
Right. And that's a big question.
People wonder
what happens to the money, right?
Sure.
Okay, and previously when we talked about Trust One, we talked about if someone's setting up a trust where you're leaving money as an inheritance for someone,
sure,
the donor has a choice of what would happen to money.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tough things about Trust Two is that when the federal law was set up, it was set up that there is a requirement that if the individual passes away,
mm-hmm,
the money must go through a process to pay back Medicaid. So if the individual has had Medicaid during their lifetime, then, and they pass away, we have to notify Medicaid that the individual has died, okay? And we don't owe, no one owes Medicaid the entire bill from your whole lifetime.
Okay.
But if you have money in the trust, then some or all of the money in a trust too has to go back to Medicaid to pay a portion of what they have expended for you.
Okay.
So there is a process for Medicaid payback if the person passes away. If an individual uses the trust two money during their lifetime and then they've used up the money and the account's empty, there's no requirement for any money to go to Medicaid.
Okay. So let's talk about what the process is, because you said that there are people that set up trust two accounts. So what is that process?
Well, it's actually fairly easy to set up a Trust 2 account. We have what's called a joinder agreement. So it's a legal document that is completed that provides information that we need about the individual, about their benefits like Social Security, waivers, Medicaid. And it is the document that where the individual is saying, I want to join the ARC pooled trust. I want to have a sub account in your pooled trust. Here's my agreement to do that.
Okay.
So with completing that document provides the information that we need, and it's a legal agreement by the individual or their parents or grandparents, or if they have a legal guardian, by their legal guardian to say, we want to establish a trust as part of the ARC pooled trust.
Okay.
So really to establish a trust, we need the joinder agreement completed and signed. We need a copy of guardianship papers if someone has, if someone's under guardianship, meaning that that someone has gone to court and become their legal guardian.
Okay.
And then we just need the money that they want to put into the trust to start their trust.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes that's a chunk of money. Maybe you got that unexpected inheritance or that back payment. But many people use our trust too, again, as just that small savings account to be able to save a little bit over time beyond their $2,000 resource limit. So that resource limit is you can't carry more than $2,000 in your bank account forward to a new month.
Yes.
Right? So some people get in a situation where they're able to just gradually build up to that $2,000, right? And you may have heard the term spend down. We hear people say, oh, it's almost the last day of the month. I have to go shopping and spend to get under $2,000.
Which doesn't break my heart.
Sure. And if someone needs or wants something, that's great. Absolutely. But we definitely hear a lot of stories of people being in that situation, and maybe they don't really need what they're going shopping for, but they're spending that last $20, $25, $50. Whereas if they would use a Trust 2 account to save $25 or $50 a month, then over time, they could buy something more substantial or more lasting.
Sure.
So again, if somebody needs or wants something, that's great, right? But if they're just going shopping to spend that last $25, it's hard to buy something lasting or substantial with $25 when maybe 6 months from now you could buy something for $150, something nicer. So it's we definitely have a lot of people that use it for a savings account, and then it just kind of goes up and down as they use the money.
So who do we contact to set up these accounts?
Well, that would be me.
Yay.
You contact me. I'm generally the person now that's traveling around meeting with people, talking about potential new trusts. I'm happy to come and meet with anyone that wants to talk about a trust. The other thing we really love the opportunity to do is either come and train staff at provider agencies or mental health or community organizations about the trust and how it can help the individuals.
You do presentations too, right?
Do presentations, do trainings. There's never any kind of fee for that. Always happy to talk to community groups, groups of parents and individuals with disabilities.
Sure.
But I also do lots of one-on-one meetings with people. So that might be in a local coffee shop or a fast food place, or that might be often it's at somebody's kitchen table.
Sure.
And so I do spend a lot of time on the road talking with people about trusts. So I can be reached here at the ARC by email. Do you want me to do all of that?
Yes, you sure
can. Okay, so by email, it's jginn@arcind.org. Okay. Our phone number here is 317-977-2375. And am I forgetting something? The website is thearctrust.org. So all spelled out, thearctrust.org.
So again, thank you so much. It's so great to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
You're so welcome. And as always, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.